Happy Sabbath to you. The youth children's and youth department are very proud to have our speaker with us today, Pastor Henry Johnson from the Greenwood Church. I am going to let him give you a brief, some brief information about himself. But as he brings us the message of God, let us listen with attentive ears. Pastor Johnson.
There we go. I think this little headset will work, except if that's on, I'm going to really send it crazy. Good morning, everybody. So good to see so many youth here. Some of you are looking at me wide-eyed. Compared to eternity, you're all still in diapers, so this is a youth rally. So I'm thankful to see all of you here this morning. Just a little bit about me. I'm Henry. Hi. Okay, some of you are waving, the rest of you aren't sure. I'm Henry. As she said, I'm pastoring a two-church district north of here. I'm in Greenwood and Clinton, South Carolina, so we're up near the upstate. But I feel like I'm getting closer and closer and closer to home. I was born in Augusta, actually, just down the road, and was raised in a little place called Renz, Georgia. I might be close enough that some of you know where that is, just south of Fort Gordon there down US 1. I grew up going church twice a weekend. I was kind of a mestizo kid, I guess you could say. I was a good Southern Baptist on Sunday and an Adventist on Saturday, and I was really confused. Just enough to be scared of both things, right? I was scared of the judgment and hell. I really needed help. But it was a blessing to grow up down there. Went to the old Adventist church there on US 1, and eventually it moved over to Wheeler Road, I believe it is. And I think that's where it still is, but I haven't been there in years. So some of you are nodding. You go, yes, that's where it is. So that's where I was. I feel like I'm coming closer to home here. I eventually went off to Columbia Union College up north because I wanted out of the South. I didn't want to go to Southern because in my mind at that point, that was the black hole where all youth were expected to go. And so I wanted to be rebellious and I went north. And my mother was fine with that because she's from Maine originally. My father is from Georgia. I got married. She got stuck down here. So I'd like to tell someone this morning, I have Yankee stubbornness and Southern sensibility. So I'm very dangerous to everybody. So I really enjoyed it. Entered the ministry out in Northern California, actually, a place you may have heard of, Sacramento, California. I was at a little place called Granite Bay, which was a church plant of the Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of you might have seen that. There's a senior pastor there was Pastor Doug Batchelor. Then I eventually got a call from the Carolina Conference to come back kind of home, if you will, down here to the Carolinas, and I've been in Greenwood the last couple years. So it's a blessing. Pastor Ben asked me to come for this week, and my churches were very gracious to let me go, so they send their greetings. They don't like to let me loose, but I already feel spoiled. I got to sit through a Sabbath school. That's the first Sabbath school I've gotten to sit through in a long while because I do both my churches every week, which means I've already preached usually a sermon already before now, and I'm usually just starting my second one. So I'm feeling very spoiled. You're giving me a great rest on the Sabbath, and I look forward to enjoying it this morning. So that's enough about me. But before I begin this morning, I'd like to just take a moment and ready myself before my God. And so what I'm going to do is, it's my custom, I kneel right here on the platform. I'd like to invite you just where you are, if you just bow your heads. And we're just going to take a few moments of silence, and I'd ask that you just ask the Lord to speak to your heart individually, that the Spirit would show you Jesus clearly, high and lifted up before you, that your hearts would be touched. And then after, and pray for those around you that they would also receive a blessing. And then after a few moments of silence, I'll bring us together out loud in a close of that prayer. And we'll get started with our message this morning, which I've entitled, Don't Forget. Okay, so let's just take a moment and go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we know that it would be crazy to ask that you be here, because you have promised where two or more are gathered, you are already there. So, Father, instead we ask that we would be present, that our minds would be open, that our hearts would be receptive to your love and to your truth as it is in Jesus. Father, guide every youth here, older and younger youth, that we would have the great joy of fellowship in Christ. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, don't forget. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to come down here because you feel like you're 20 miles away, and this is what I do anyway at Greenwood, so now I feel more at home. Don't forget. If I told you don't forget, why would I say that? Okay, obviously whatever I would have just said is something probably important you don't want to forget, right? How many of you parents say something and say, now don't forget, right? So that'd be pretty important. All right, what are some things that as a church we normally forget? Anybody? Okay, you're all scared to answer. I'll keep asking questions until people answer, so just so you know. What are some things you think today? Just give me some feedback here. What do you think normally when you say, don't forget, what is something that the church tends to forget a lot about? Okay, meetings, that's true. Ah, okay, Marcus, right? Okay, good. I'm horrible with names, so I'm glad I can remember one. To get gas in your car, okay. Okay, I like where Marcus was going with that because it's going to tie into this today. He says, okay, the Sabbath. Okay, and this is usually what happens, right? What? Don't forget to be kind. Okay. Ooh, we forget to eat a healthy breakfast. That is true. I'm very guilty of that a lot of times, although I was good this morning, just in case someone asked. I ate my breakfast this morning, my granola and my banana. Now I'm already hungry again. Okay. Yes, but we often forget that. Now, as a church, as Adventists, sometimes we'll be like, oh, people have forgotten. And we kind of go straight where Marcus is gone. Shows that we're training up children in our image, right? He goes, the Sabbath, right? So if I mentioned Exodus 20 and I said, oh, there is a law that we forget, what would you automatically say? Okay, the fourth commandment. Okay, you fell right into my trap. Okay, excellent. I don't think we actually forget that one, not as Seventh-day Adventists. We just forget something else. And that's what I want to talk to a little bit this morning. I think it's vital. It's at the heart of Exodus 20. It's at the heart of the law. It's at the heart of the Sabbath. And it's something that it would do well for us to be reminded of because we forget it. So without opening your Bibles, let's do a quick quiz to see how well you forget. What is the first commandment in Exodus 20? Oh, dear. I am in an Adventist church, right? Ooh, I'm going to have to report to Ben. All right. Pastor Ben. All right, what is the first commandment again?
Love and obey
God. Okay. Okay, well, I'm not there yet, Marcus. That's good, though. He's the A student. He's going ahead. I heard in Sabbath school. Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many of you would agree with that? Okay, you got a C. Okay, that means you only got 50%. Because that's only 50% of the first commandment. And I see my brother here is about to go cheat. Don't cheat yet. We're going there later. If I see him open up the Bible. It says, and the Lord spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. Therefore, have no other gods before me. Why we cut that commandment in half, I have no idea. Okay, the first commandment is, I am the Lord who saved you. I did everything to save you. Therefore, all right, please have no other gods before me. We're going to come back to that. That's a beginning. It's like a sandwich. We're going to build a sandwich today so that you're all really hungry for potluck. I was told there was food. If not, I'll have to drive to Renz. It's closer. I can get to my grandmother. She'll always cook. All right. All right, so that's the first commandment, right? I saved you. Please have no other gods before me. Now, Marcus, what was the second one?
The second one is, don't have any other gods before me.
Right. Don't make any graven images, right? Very good. A sticker for him. All right, someone other than Marcus, because it looks like he probably knows. All right, what is the third commandment, church? Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Very good. Now this one, if you can't answer this one, you all will have your membership cards taken away. Okay, we check them at the door, right? What is the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day. Okay, very good, very good. Glad to keep it holy. 6 days should you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you should do no work. Neither your sons nor your daughters, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor the... What? Stranger that is in your gate, right? For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, right? Seeing all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Okay, very good. Some of you are a little rusty. It's okay, you'll have something to do this afternoon. What is the fifth commandment? Very good, right? I would be amiss at a youth Sabbath not to point that one out, right? People would accost me at the door. Honor your father and your mother so that your days would be long in the land which the Lord is giving you. Okay. No one's cheating yet, right? I can't see everybody if your Bible is open. All right, what's the sixth commandment? Okay, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. Very good. What is the seventh commandment?
Thou
Is it? Ah, I heard it right here. It's, yeah, everyone's like, well, we only have four left, right? And this sister's already like, I'm just going. Okay, right? Do not commit adultery. Okay, now what is the eighth commandment? Okay, everyone's like, we'll be stealing eventually. Okay, yes, do not steal. What is the ninth commandment? No, thou shalt not bear false witness. Very good. Yeah, thou shalt lie or bear false witness. And then finally, the tenth commandment is, I heard it right here, thou shalt not covet. Okay, very good. All right, you kind of made it through. This was just a warm-up. You didn't know you were being quizzed. Okay, so you're doing pretty good about that. But did you know that there's another law in Exodus 20? Everyone's staring at me blankly. See, I knew you forgot. Oh, you do? What is it? Right, love your neighbor as yourself. That's actually a summary of the last five. You saw that, very good. Right, we get there. But did you know, everyone's staring at me blankly, there is another law in Exodus 20. Did you know the chapter isn't done? How many of you stop as soon as you're done with the commandments and think Exodus 20 is over? Let's go to Exodus 21. The moment you get to thou shalt not covet, that is only halfway through the chapter. God is not done speaking to Moses. He is not done giving his summary of the law. Did you realize that? Some of you look like I just grew another arm. Okay, hold on, it's not. You're going to look at it yourself. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Exodus chapter 20. Yeah, I know. It's okay, you can cheat now. Turn to. I cheat every week. It's called the Bible. Just open it up, and it's great. All right, Exodus chapter 20. When you're there, please say amen or sneeze or do something so I know you're alive. All right, Exodus chapter 20. Don't forget, we're going to look at the law that everyone has forgotten. Okay, Exodus chapter 20. And where we just finished our little quiz was down there at verse 17, but the chapter keeps going. All right, some of you will see that. There is another law that God gave at the same time as the Ten Commandments that we would be well to remember. All right, Exodus chapter 20, are you there? I only heard like two people go amen. I assume the rest of you, but you're scared to talk, I guess. Okay, Exodus chapter 20. And we'll just pick up in verse 18 so we don't skip any of the chapter, just to set the stage here. Okay, so the Lord just finished speaking that. Verse 18. Now all the people, who are these people? Israel, okay, witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. How many of you would be with them? Okay, some of you are being honest. Very good. The rest of you might have just keeled over of a heart attack, I guess. You wouldn't have moved. All right, verse 19. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. By the way, that's a very sad phrase. How many of you realize that God wanted to speak to all of the Israelites at Sinai? How many of you realize that? You know why Moses is the only one that he spoke straight to, other than a few elders and stuff later on? Because they didn't want to hear. The people didn't want to talk to God. They're like, no, don't let him talk to us. Okay? We're going to find out, you find out later when you go through Exodus, why is they had the wrong idea of who God was. Part of that is because they did not only understand the law that he just gave, but they didn't understand the last law that all of us have forgotten and we're looking at this morning. So let's keep going with the story. Verse 20, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Okay, so he goes, okay, I'm going to go back. And now notice, God isn't done yet. Here he goes. He realizes their condition. Verse 22. How many of you have subheadings in your chapter? All right, what does it say? The law of the altar. By the way, that's the forgotten law. And now we're going to look at it, just if you wanted to summarize it. Here we go. Let's look at the law that everyone forgot, so don't forget. Okay, here we go. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. And here he goes. Here's the law of the altar. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. end of Exodus chapter 20. How many of you have read these verses before? If you have, how many of you remember these verses? How many of you looked at this and went, that's weird, and moved on? Right? Okay, it's okay. You can be honest. I was like that the first time I read it too. I was like, okay, you know, the law. Yes, great. Wonderful evangelistic sermon title. Right? And then I get down here, I'm like, this is just weird. Right? Okay. But this is actually very profound. It's connected intimately to the Ten Commandments. There is a reason why the very next thing out of God's mouth after He gives the law and the Israelites freakout.com and go running away and like, no, we can't listen to Him anymore. And Moses comes near, he goes, okay, you need to make something very clear to the Israelites, and it's the law of the altar that He gives. And hopefully by the end of this morning you'll realize this is very powerful. This is basically the other piece of bread to God's law sandwich. Okay? Just as I said, when you cut the first commandment out, you ruin the bread. Okay? It starts off with, I'm the God who did everything to save you. How much did they do to get out of Israel, out of Egypt, by the way? How much did they do to get out of Israel? I keep saying that. Out of Egypt. Israel came out of Egypt. You're going to be a preacher one day. I think you're going to be. All right. No, that's true. But who did the plagues? God. Who complained the whole time through the plagues? Okay, let's just keep this in mind, right? How much did they do to get out of Egypt? Absolutely nothing. They complained the whole time. In fact, they went backwards, right? Who brought them through the sea? God. Who fed them? Who's brought them to this mountain? God, right? So He's done everything. So here you have almost like a piece of grace, okay? Grace, bread. Here you go. Okay? And then He goes, because I've done all of these things, because I've already saved you, now please respond. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here comes the commandments, right, that you're familiar with. Okay? But if I had one piece of bread and put all the 10 pieces of, you know, some lettuce and some tomato and some stripples, right? How many of you are hungry yet? Right? Okay, good. Right? You stick it all in there, but I don't put the other piece of bread on and I go to pick it up, what's going to happen? It's going to fall over my shirt and I'm going to look pretty stupid. Right, so God goes, okay, the Israelites obviously have missed that point because they look pretty dumb right now. They're running away from the mountain. Okay, they're like, I don't want anything to do with this law-giving God. And He goes, okay, Moses, let's put the other piece of bread on here. Let me give you the law of the altar. And if they would remember this, they will understand what they just heard. Okay, basically this is what He's saying. If they understand this law of the altar, they will understand the 10 things I just told you a second ago. That's why it's the first thing out of His mouth. So, do we understand what this law of the altar means? Well, let's take a look at it this morning. That's all I want to do this morning. We're going to look at the three things He gives in the law of the altar and see what we can learn. All right, everyone, with your own meaty little eyeballs, looking at the text. What is the first part of the law of the altar? What's the first thing He tells them? That's the first thing. He's my A student. He just wants to go ahead and answer it all. Right? Okay, you're right. He begins by reminding them that this is connected to what He already said because He's referencing the second commandment, isn't He? Right? I mean, this was the thing they just heard. Okay, so He's connecting them. He goes, okay, I've already told you all of that. Right? So now He goes, okay, now if you're going to build an altar, you're going to build me an altar out of what? This is the first thing. Out of earth. That's what He says. Now, He hasn't got to the stone yet. He goes, if you're going to make an altar, you're going to build it out of what? Earth. Another word for earth would be what? Dirt. Okay, not too complicated. I need to be a rocket scientist this morning. Okay, you're going to build this altar out of dirt. In other words, you're going to heap a pile of dirt up and you're going to sacrifice on that. Now, let me ask you a question. Where can you find dirt?
Anywhere.
Marcus once again has the answer. You can find it anywhere, isn't that true? By the way, does everyone here know how to pile up dirt into a big heaping pile? Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know about that, Marcus. I think everybody knows. How many of you parents have noticed that when you have a young kid, what is one of the things that, I don't know if we still have them anymore, but used to be on playgrounds? They probably found some legal reason why it hurts kids and they've taken it away. Right? It's in a little box, a sandbox, and when you put a kid in a sandbox for the first time, what is the instinctive thing that they start doing? You didn't have to tell them to do it. No one taught them. What do? Yeah, they start making a big pile. Isn't that true? No one has to teach you. You have an innately programmed in you. You have the ability to make a pile of dirt. Right? Someone goes, what if you don't have arms? Right? Somebody's going to be picky on me today. You can still pile it with your foot. People find ways. We pile dirt. Okay? Here's the first point. He goes, if you're going to make an altar to worship me, you're going to make it out of dirt. And this is a very profound thing for him to tell them, because the first thing is here. Dirt, everybody has access to dirt, and everybody can pile up dirt. Isn't that true? Now here's the thing. God wanted the Israelites to be very clear on something. And they missed this point because they forgot the law of the altar, which is why I'm telling you this morning. The Jews would later come to believe that because they had the law, they were the only access point to Christ. They were the only access point to God. And God was right here at the beginning, go, I know the law is important, right? He's given it to them. He's like, but don't you forget that I've given you that everybody has access to me. Everybody's supposed to have access to me. Just like dirt, you can just pile it up. Everybody, you don't have to be taught. Everybody has the ability to get in touch with God. Okay? This is making sense to everybody. Right? Everybody has the ability. Now, obviously the law is a very good way. Okay, he's not delineating that. But he's saying, listen, don't you forget, now that I've given you this law, that everybody should have access to me. The Jews forgot this, didn't they? Right? They walled themselves off. They didn't want anything to do with anybody around. Right? Now, I know Adventists haven't forgotten this law, right? I know we don't wall ourselves off on Saturday morning and have nothing to do with anybody else. You know, those weird Baptists and those Pentecostals and those Catholics and everybody else. Right? We don't do that, right? Okay, some of you are kind of nervously laughing. I'll just move on. Okay. Right? That's why we've been talking about discipleship in Sabbath school, okay? Right? I mean, I do believe we have a great truth. Like, Israel has just been handed a great truth. But you got to share that thing, okay? Right? Everybody should have access to it. So that's the first rule. Okay, but here's the problem with dirt. And God understands that this is something they would face. Okay, they're in the desert. Which means they have lots of dirt. Right? You don't even dig up the grass to get to it. They're in the desert. But you go, what happens if it rains? What's going to happen to your altar? That's not going to work so well. So he knew that some of them would start complaining and go, this isn't fair. Right? You know, dirt. I can't worship this Sabbath because it's raining. You know. So he goes, okay, fine. If you want to make an altar out of stone, you can do that, but there is a rule to that. This is the second thing he said. What is it? Unhewn or uncut stone. Now, why would this be important? Why can't they cut out some stone? Any ideas? My sister is starting to figure this out. Oh, that's a Bible. I don't want to use that. I like to be interactive. Okay. These will be stones. I know they're all the same shape, so they look cut, but ignore that. Okay, so let's say, is this a Bible? No, it's not. Okay, let's see if you can see it. Let's say, here I go. I'm going to make an altar of stone. So here I go. I set this one here, and Sabbath morning, we're getting ready to worship. How many of you like my altar? Okay, that's good. But I think, you know what? The church should be beautiful. The church service, I mean, I want everyone to be impressed with the awesome God that we serve. And so go, hey, I know what I'll do. I'll make an Adventist altar. This is going to be great. Okay, watch this. Hey, everyone, look at that seven. Isn't that pretty? What do you think that stands for? The seventh day. All right, here we go. Okay, my bird kind of looks like it got run over, but... Okay. Hey, look at the clouds and the angels. It's the second coming. How many of you are happy about that? Hallelujah. Some of you are not so convinced with my artistry. Okay. All right, okay. Hey, I know. Ha-ha. How many of you like this cross right there? That's right. Jesus died. How many of you are happy? Some of you are like, you're too Baptist. Okay. Have a little life this morning. This is good news. All right, here we go. The final one. I got one more side. I'm like, Right? Aha! The two tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. Very good. Very good. That's beautiful. Right? Oh, but you know, the top, you know, women like roses, so. Ah, isn't that nice? There's some nice roses on the top. Excellent. All right, so I've just made a very beautiful altar here. Right? Now, you come into church. You come in today to worship at the altar, because that's what you were going to do. That's where you met. That was like their pulpit. You're worshiping at the altar. Now, let's say Marcus comes running in here. Actually, no, I picked on Marcus too much. I need to ask, what is your name, brother? Terry? Terry, well, I mean, I could ask your name too. I'll get you next. Don't worry. Huh? Anthony. Okay, I'll try and remember that. But Terry, he was smiling at me, so I'll pick on him. All right. Now, don't all frown at me, but okay. So there's Terry. So, all right, so Terry comes into worship, man. He's like, yo, bro. And I'm like, yes. And I go, hey, come to the altar. And he's like, running up. I'm like, hey, dude, check it out. Check it out. Don't you like that seven? Oh, man, that's a beautiful seven, right? Because he looks like an artistic man, right? And I'm like, hey, look at that. Yeah, I mean, look at that second coming scene. He's like, dude, your birds look like, you know, they got hit by a bus. Okay, you know, just, but those are angels, actually. Oh. Anyway, that's a beautiful scene, right? Hey, dude, look at this. He goes, man, that's a nice-looking cross. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it? Hey, dude, check this. Oh, dude, and the lady's really going to like the, right, the roses on top. This is very nice. Okay, now, what are we talking about? Yeah, somebody's already figuring out. What are we paying attention to? Yeah. Aha. I'm paying attention to what I've done to the altar, but what was the point of the altar? Okay, what went on the altar? Okay, and what did the lamb represent? Jesus, right? Which is the only one that's going to get you out of this mess that you've made. Right? Okay, three of you were like, yes. The rest of you were like, it's the lamb. Okay? Right, so now my focus is on what I have done and not the lamb and what he has done. Isn't that true? Which is why he said, if you put your tool to it, you profaned it, you've ruined it. Because now you're going to be tempted to believe that it's what you do and not what the lamb does. Now the Jews forgot this one too, didn't they? They started creating a system where it was about all the 100 million things that you could do to gain God's favor and get the work accomplished. Not that doing the work is a bad thing, don't misunderstand. But their focus was on all the little things they could add to the altar and the temple and everything else. And because of that, when a guy named Jesus, the Lamb, shows up and starts saying, no, you need to get it from me. Kind of sounds like the Laodicean message, doesn't it? You're rich and increased with goods. Oh, man, look at that. Look at that. Rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, but you need to get from me. You're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. You need me. Right? And they were like, uh-uh. Why? Remember, and what was their argument against him all the time? Well, we've got the law of Moses. Guess what? They forgot. Has anyone seen this yet? Okay, don't you forget. Okay, now what was the third law? I'm trying to make it really simple today. All right, what was the third part of the law? First, you just pile up dirt. If it's the rainy season or, you know, that doesn't look good enough for you, you can use stones, but you can't do what? You can't carve it. You can't use a tool on it. It has to be uncut stones. Just pile it up there. Okay. Okay, you can't make any steps to it. Okay, that your nakedness may not be exposed on that. That's a very interesting phrase. And no, he's not talking about Peeping Toms in Massachusetts. Yeah, that's not what he's talking about. He's not worried about you build stairs and somebody's going to be like sitting there trying to look up under that. Yeah, it's symbolic. Let me ask you. Why do you think that is even in... What in the world does stairs have to do with anything? Ah. Man, I tell Pastor Ben, he's done a good job. He's got some smart cookies here. All right. Now, follow this. How many of you have noticed this? How many of you have seen like the Mayan pyramids in South America? Anyone seen a picture of those? It's got all those little stairs going all the way up. How many of you have seen a pyramid? All right. I'm looking forward to seeing some myself. I'm doing an evangelistic series in Egypt, hopefully in October. So I'm looking forward to seeing those with my own little meaty eyeballs. But if you actually look at those, they're kind of built like these step ideas too, right? Very tall, right? Here's this idea. Now, how about this? How many of you have been in a very old cathedral? Anyone been in an old one? Okay, some maybe in Europe or somewhere else. Where's the pulpit in these old cathedrals? Okay, well, I mean, some of the more modern ones, obviously, they have, it's kind of funny, they have the lower pulpit where everybody else can talk, and then on the other side, they have like the higher one that the priest goes up, but that's not even the oldest ones. If you go to some of the older ones in Europe, things like when I was there, there's these huge columns that hold up the middle of the ceiling right down the row, and you'll see one that has this like spiral staircase going all the way around it, all the way around, and there's this little nave that sticks up off the top, and that's where the minister would go. He'd literally go way up there, kind of in the middle of everybody, and he'd talk from there. He didn't have amplification systems and sound systems and whatever, but he went up. Okay, there is this concept built in... Oh, let me throw it this way. Where did the Jews worship all the pagan idols? Well, yeah, they eventually brought it into the temple at some point in Israel's history, but what do they call it? The high places. You remember that term? Right? They'd always find some hill, some mountain, some whatever, and they go stick all the idols up there. Why? Well, not just that they would be seen from everywhere, although that's a good reason. Huh? Yeah, he got it right there. There is something built into humanity, this concept that the higher up I go, the closer to God I get. Right? Which, and I'm not picking on pulpits, but why do you think our pulpits are up high? It's not just so you can see me. Okay? Most of our churches, you can clearly see me down there. Right? In fact, I'm giving away why I come down off the platform. My members, when I first came to the church, they're like, why do you never preach from the platform? And you'll find out in a moment. I'm not against it. It's not pagan. Don't go running out of here. He said pulpits are horrible. No, they're fine. That's just me. Okay? And it's not a commandment, so it's just my relationship with God. Okay? But here's the thing. We have this idea that up, 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 the higher up you go, the closer to God you are. That's why we put everything up high. Right? This kind of idea of there's a mediator, right? The minister receives from God, and then he passes it down to you. You laugh, but that's the concept that sadly even in Adventism we're getting, right? You guys are worshiping me too much. Everybody thinks the minute... I'm just like you, okay? In fact, I like to put it this way. Side note, I'm going to pick on Ben too. I'm sure he would agree with this. I'm saying it to his wife because that's him. Two shall be one flesh. So I can say it to you and you'll get to him. All right, here's the thing though. Here's the thing, teachers. Has anyone been a teacher here? Anybody? Okay, one or two. Who do you have to spend more time with? The straight A student or the special needs kid? Right? You have to get really close to that kid and you have to really work with them. I'm going to tell you right now why I'm a minister. It's not because I'm better than you, it's because I'm the special needs kid. God realized that if he didn't keep me extra close, I'm toast. Okay? Because I'm a very prideful, stubborn fool. And God's had to do a lot with me and he's still having to do a lot with me. Okay? But that's the only reason I'm a minister. Not because I'm like higher receiving and passing down. Okay? This is the priesthood of all believers, friends. Hello? You are just as important in this mix. I've just been given the gift of ministry, but you may have been given something, and we all need them. Okay? That's the point. So he goes, but even in Israel, they had that concept, you know. Okay? And he said, don't you build steps, and here's why. Because he knew that the moment we think we're going, I'm going up, he said the concept in religion, and most every religion is not immune to this, the idea of religion is how you get to God. I must find God. I must get to God. I must approach God. I either keep Saturday or I keep Sunday or I have the Spirit or I do this or I do that or I do this or everything. It doesn't matter. It's not even just Christianity. Right? It could be Islam, it could be Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, you know, whatever. I mean, everything is about what you do to supposedly reach whatever. Whatever the deity is, what you do to become deity, doesn't matter what the faith is, it's built into humanity what I do to get to God. But here's the truth of the gospel. The gospel is not about what you do to get to God. In fact, if it was left to you, you'd never reach there. Okay? The amazing truth about the gospel, even in the Old Testament, is that we didn't go up to God. God came down. That better sink in for somebody. God came down. The Lamb came down. We didn't go up. We had no interest in going up. Okay, and whatever little interest we normally have as a human being is going up is like Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. I will ascend to the Most High. I up, 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 up. You know, it's not about even reaching God. If it is about reaching God, it's so that you're either on par with Him or you can like subvert Him. Okay, that the humanity is not, that's our, we don't have any interest. And God goes, so here's the thing, I'll come down to you. I'll come down. Even though I'm your Lord and Savior, I'll humble myself. I'll come down. I mean, I love this picture in the Bible, right? You know, it's funny. Satan wanted to go all the way up, and it caused him to go all the way down. And Jesus was willing to go all the way down, and it caused him to go all the way up. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is upside down for us. It's not the way we think. This is why our churches are falling apart, because we try and do it like the world. But, you know, this is why he's telling Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. He's not saying, well, if you get new eyesight, you can see it because it's like two streets down and on the right. That's not what he's talking about here. I mean, listen, he's like, Nicodemus. And by the way, Nicodemus was a guy that knew how to go up. Right? He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Okay, this was a puppet government the Romans had established. It's kind of funny. The Jews, well, it's sad, but this is what sin does. The Jews hated the fact that the Romans were subversing them, were enslaving them, and they wanted over that. But yet you had a class of Jews, the Sanhedrin, that were perfectly fine enslaving their own people, being the puppets of the Romans, so they could go up. Right? I mean, it's this domineering idea. And so he's got this ruler, this Pharisee, right? He's coming to him, and he's like, how do I go up? You know, I'm already up. And he goes, you need to be born again. You need to go backwards. All right? And he's like, what? He's like, are you a teacher of the law and you don't get this? Why would he say that? What was given right here in Exodus 20? He's like, Nicodemus, you think it's about how you like, I'm up. And he goes, man, how can you teach the Jews anything else if you don't even know this? No, I come down. That's why I'm here. Hello, it's me. That's why the Jews rejected him, among many other reasons. They didn't like this picture of God. They wanted him to come up. They're like, here I am to save the day. And instead he comes down and he's like, here I am. Right, you know, nothing that you should desire me. And they're like, guess why? They forgot. He said, don't you build steps. And then there's that interesting phrase. Because if you build steps, the shame of your nakedness will be revealed. Here's the thing. Your character stinks. My character stinks. I admit that before you clearly this morning. I stink. Okay? I'm gross. I'm a sinner. No matter what I do, I'm a sinner. Okay? I'm not saying that God can't heal me and transform my life, but no matter, even if I start living perfectly now, that doesn't negate the fact that I was once a sinner. Hello? I'm pretty naked. I'm gross. Okay, more so than that, this is even referencing back in Genesis. What was the first sign we had that sin had entered the world? Does anyone remember? Yeah, Adam and Eve realized they're naked. By the way, were they naked before? Yeah, now I know in the spirit of prophecy it talks about a robe of light and whatever, but I haven't seen that. I don't know. The point is, though, they were still technically naked. Okay, I find it fascinating. I'm kind of, you know, ADD. I like to jump around. There's everything connects in the Bible to me, and I'm like, ooh, that's fun. So I'll try and close this up here. I'm running out of time. But here's the thing. In Genesis, before, think about this. This is the way the universe works, the unfallen universe, the way that Eden worked. Okay? Everything in the unfallen world is about service to somebody else. Everything is about other-centeredness. That's how God exists. Okay? Before sin, all Adam was concerned about was Eve. She put the woe and woe man, guys. Oh, man. I can't wait to meet my Eve. Anyway, all right. This is the point, right? He was concerned about her, the animals, everything. God, everything is about others, and Eve was concerned about Adam. All right? But then the devil comes along. I wish I had time to get into all of this. All right? They only gave me one time to speak. Okay? He's probably wise. He knew it'd take the whole day. All right? But the devil comes in and goes, oh, that doesn't work. God actually isn't looking out for you. You've got to look out for yourself. Right? And so Eve goes, oh, okay. And she eats it, and then she takes it to Adam, and Adam falls for the same lie, even though he wasn't deceived. Right? He knew what had happened, but he ends up believing the same lie, because all he knew is that God said, well, if you eat, you die, and he's going to lose Eve, and she's the only perfect woman that ever existed. Sorry, ladies, but she's the only perfect woman that ever existed. And he's like, if I lose out on that, God isn't looking out for me. I guess I need to look out for me. Right, fell for the same thing. All sin is sin. Okay, we're the only ones that put it in categories. Like, well, that one's a better one than the worst one. And no, it's gross. It's sin. It kills you. Okay, but here's the thing. The moment they eat, guess what they're doing? If you have to take care of yourself, what do you need to be aware of? What needs to be taken care of? So who do you need to look at if you've got to take care of you? You have to look at you. For the first time in their existence, they went, ah! Okay, they realized they individually were naked. Before, that's just how God had given them. Okay, Eve's supposed to look that way. Oh man, Adam's supposed to look that way. Now you're like, ah! Okay, and they tried to fix their problem. Okay, so you have this theme of nakedness going up through the Bible. This is why even in Revelation it says you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Why? When you're doing it yourself, when it's about you, how you're going to get to God, how you're going to do whatever, you look gross. You're naked. You're going to be shamed. You're a fool. All right, Paul was talking about this. You're fooling nobody. All right, not even yourself. All right, and this is what God said. He said, don't you build steps, because then everyone's going to see your nakedness. That ain't going to solve the problem. You can't solve the problem. That's why I had to come. You can't solve the problem. All right? And by the way, Right? So you see here, right here in Exodus 20, you have, I'm the one who saved you. I did everything to save you. Therefore, respond this way, please. Ten Commandments. And he goes, but don't forget. Right? Everybody has access to me. Everybody can reach me. It's not about what you do. It's about what I do. And it's not about you getting to me. I come to you. Don't forget. There's the other piece of bread. And by the way, just in case you were like, well, I don't think I want to add that in my presentations on the law. That's fine. That's what the fourth commandment is. What were you supposed to do on the... What are you doing today? What are you supposed to be doing today here in this church? Worshipping. But that's not what the commandment says. The commandment doesn't go, thou shalt worship. Okay, although that's going to happen. Well, you hollow it, but how do you worship it? Why are we doing... You're resting. What am I resting from? Okay, yeah, obviously 6 days I labor and do all my work, but what else am I... Yeah, self. But here's the thing. Here's the reason why, for me, and I'm saying this is... Whew, Ben's going to... Okay, I put it this way. Because I grew up like Adva Baptist, okay? Really messed up combination. Okay, and I've chosen this church for a reason, because I believe specifically the Sabbath truth is really spoken to me, but not just because of the day, but because of the way. Okay, here's the thing. Here's what the Sabbath represents. I don't have to earn God's love. I can rest from that pursuit. I don't have to go up. I don't have to do this and that and everything else. I mean, I'm going to end up doing that through God's power, but I don't have to do that. That's not what gains God's affection. That's not what gets His attention or whatever. The thing, it's simply, this is my one day a week that I should be telling them the way I live 7 other days of the week and say, listen, I can just rest in the love of God that I don't have to earn. Okay? I can rest from my labor. It's what He does, not me. I'm just resting in it. All right? I can just rest. I can rest in a God that doesn't want me to cease to exist, but rather would have Him cease to exist than me cease to exist. That's what the cross tells me. I can rest from salvation. I can rest from my pursuits. I can rest from trying to fix the problem. I can just rest and rest and rest, because the same Creator God, the same power it takes to create, is the same power necessary to recreate. I can just rest. God's got this. He's going to take care of it. That's what I tell the whole... That's what Sabbath is ultimately supposed to be. That's what I should be telling the whole world. We Adventists should be the top people bouncing up and down going, our God is awesome. Right? Because I can rest. God's going to do it. He's got this thing. You need to know the God of the Bible. This God is amazing. You guys are going, wait. I mean, I'm getting a lot of places, but I'll end this way. I'm going all over the place. I get so excited. Even Revelation says that, by the way, the three angels. What do they start off with? You know this. Saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting what? Gospel. Well, if it's everlasting, it's always been there. It must be in Exodus 22. Right? Everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying in a loud voice, what? Fear who? God. But what God? Did you know there's lots of different ideas of God out there? My mic is dead, but I think we have a closing hymn. What number is it, Marcus?
Our closing hymn will be 518. Staying on the promises.
Let's please stand and stand on the promise that God's got your back. Do you want to stand on the promises of God this morning? You want to stand in His rest? Bow our heads and have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we are so thankful that we can stand in Christ alone. Father, we are so thankful that we have access to You through the Son. Father, that You have done a great work, and You promise You will be faithful to complete the good work You have begun till the day of Jesus Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that You come after us. You didn't leave us in the squalor and the mire. But Father, You came down. You became the equivalent of a dung beetle for us. You came down and You let us kill You simply so You could have us again. Father, we are so thankful. Father, I pray for each and every family here represented. I pray that they would not forget the beauty of the lawgiver, the one who has done everything to save them, and yes, longs for them to enter into a covenant relationship with Him. But I pray that in that relationship, they would not forget to rest from their labor in You. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. You offer it to us freely if we would just accept it. Father, we want to stand in Jesus this morning. Keep us youthful. Keep us with that childlike trust. May we all as little children come to you, knowing that you will not turn us away. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we stand in your rest today, for we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake, that everyone say,
Amen. Amen.